Morning, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 72. Psalm 72, this is the last psalm in the second book of the Psalter. There are five different books in the Psalter. Psalm 72 ends the second section. We'll be reading the 20 verses of this chapter. Psalm 72, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's Word. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness, and your poor with justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish, and peace abound, till the moon be no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And the prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you also to turn to the back of your Psalters to page 26 in the back section. This is the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 19. This morning, I will read the questions. You may respond with the answers from page 26 in the back of the Psalter. Question 50, why the next words, and sitteth at the right hand of God? How does this glory of Christ, our head, benefit us? How does Christ's return to judge the living and the dead comfort you? Well, this past Thursday night, we gathered together to celebrate the Ascension. Remember, children, it was Ascension Day. a day to celebrate Jesus going from earth back into heaven. And we thought about the blessings that that brings to us. The blessings of having our own flesh in heaven. Jesus went up first and we will follow Him. We talked about what He is doing there in heaven, how He is there interceding, praying for us. We have an advocate with the Father. The Father listens to the Son. Today we continue with that thought of Jesus and His reign and His rule. He went up into heaven to take His place at the right hand of God, where He sits ruling and reigning. We call that His session. We're going to talk this morning about the session of Jesus Christ, who rules as King. That word session comes from the old English language when a court would sit and a king would sit. We called that sitting in session. And we still use that word today. If you have to go to court, the judge walks in and someone says, "Court is now in session." Well, the same was true when a king came. And when a king would sit on his royal throne and rule over his kingdom, he was said to sit in session, righteously ruling and judging His people. Today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ in His session. The fact that Jesus Christ is King right now. Psalm 72 is a psalm that talks about the kingship. It is entitled in my Bible, "Of Solomon," sometimes titled "For Solomon." It's a psalm about the kingship in Israel. And we know that in Israel, the kingship was a picture and a preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ, the true and eternal King. Now, certainly this psalm had an immediate application for the kings of Israel. But ultimately, its application is to Jesus Christ, the one who would reign forever, the one who would reign from sea to sea. So this morning we look at Psalm 72 as a picture of kingship, not only of the kingship in Israel, but more so for us, the kingship of Jesus Christ as He rules and reigns over His people today. What is the nature of Christ's kingship? What is the character of His kingship? Well, the psalm begins, "Give the King your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and the poor with justice. Let the mountains bring bear prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness." Righteousness and justice. That's the kingdom Jesus rules. His king is, he is a righteous king and a just king. One who does all things perfectly. Think of that in contrast to the rulers we see around us in the world today. How many would we describe as righteous? How many would we describe as ruling with justice? Now, so often sin has tainted the kingship, has tainted the rulers, has tainted the kingdoms, that they look anything but righteous. Jesus Christ is a righteous king. He is a just king. He is the perfect king. And His kingship is characterized by those attributes of righteousness and justice. He rules over us in that way. Our confession says, Christ ascended to heaven there to show that He is head of His church and that the Father rules all things through Him. Therefore, the psalm begins, "Give the King your justice, O God." May God grant that justice and that rule to Jesus Christ, His Son, and may He rule on God's behalf over the whole kingdom. The righteousness of God Himself as the character of Christ's kingship. It will be, as the psalmist says in verse 6, He will be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like the showers that water the earth. And the picture there the psalmist is giving us is providing rain and sun at the proper time so things can flourish, so they can grow, so there can be blessing. That's the character of Christ's kingship. In His days, may the righteous flourish and peace abound.
May God help us as citizens of that kingdom to flourish before Him. He will provide the proper timing, the proper setting, the proper blessing, the proper encouragement, that we as citizens of the kingdom may flourish, not simply survive and get along, but we may flourish before Him, and peace may abound in the kingdom of our God. It is a kingdom characterized by righteousness, a kingdom characterized by justice, a kingdom that part of the character of that kingship is it is an eternal kingship. Read from verse 5. May they fear you while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. The psalmist says, your praise, your fear, your adoration is going to be as long as the sun, as long as the moon. What he means, kids, is forever. The sun will always continue as long as the earth lasts. The moon will always continue as long as the earth lasts. That's the character of Christ's kingship. A kingship that is an eternal kingship. Now, Israel knew some good kings. Israel had some kings who were righteous, who were just. But so often, as we read the history of the kingship of Israel, there would be a righteous king followed by an unrighteous king. And then maybe later a righteous king again, but then more unrighteous kings. And the kingship would go up and down and up and down. Christ's kingship, His righteousness, His justice, will never go up and down. It is an eternal kingdom. One that lasts for the blessing of His people forever. His reign will never end. Christ sits on the throne now, and He will sit on the throne into eternity. That's the character of that glorious kingship. Not that things are great for the people of God now, but who knows what happens next? No, Christ remains on the throne. And Christ rules over all of His kingdom. It is a worldwide kingdom. Verse 8. May He have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. And the psalmist uses a picture here to talk about everywhere. When he says from sea to sea, it'd be like us saying, God, we'd like You to bless our country from Atlantic to Pacific, meaning everywhere. Or say, God, we recognize Your kingship over the whole world from North Pole to South Pole, everywhere. Christ is not only an eternal king, but Christ is a king who rules over all. There is no part of the world where Christ is not ruling and reigning right now. And because He is king, that gives significance to everything that we do. Because we work and labor in the kingdom, no matter where we are working, it gives meaning to the decisions we make, meaning to the activity we have. Christ's kingship is not only over His church. Now, certainly, He is king and head of His church, and He rules over His church. But the kingdom is not limited to the church. The kingdom stretches beyond the bounds of the church and is in every part of our lives. When we are at home and training our children and teaching them the truths of the faith and teaching them how to get along in life, that is a service in Christ's kingdom. When we go to work in the factory and we labor honestly, diligently, deliberately before the Lord, that is labor in the kingdom. When we go in the classroom and learn about the glories of the world around us, or we teach about the glories of the world around us, that is labor, that is service in the kingdom of God, because His kingdom stretches around the world, from North Pole to South Pole. It is a kingdom everywhere. It gives significance to our lives, significance to our labor. When you leave from here and tomorrow need to go back to work and back to the office or back to the factory, back wherever it is, it's not as if you're leaving the presence of God. Not as if you're leaving your obligation to recognize His kingship. But we are simply going from one type of kingdom service to another type. Christ's kingship is eternal. It is everywhere. It is righteous and it is just. The glories of this eternal kingship of Jesus Christ. How will that King Jesus Christ reign? What will be the method of His reign? We look at verse 3. Let the mountains bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness. And again, verse 7. In His days may the righteous flourish, and peace abound, till the moon be no more. He will be a king who brings prosperity. That's the method by which He will bless us, bringing prosperity to us. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. I like a king who's going to bring me prosperity. I like a king who's going to help me to prosper. So many times people have taken a text like this and others and made that in terms of earthly prosperity. Even Jesus' own disciples misunderstood the nature of His kingdom. When He was preparing to go back into heaven, they said, "Are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" But His kingdom is not simply that which is measured in earthly terms. And the prosperity is not measured in earthly terms. We have enough churches that we can listen to on the radio or on TV that will talk about the health and wealth gospel. God wants you to prosper. God wants to bless you. What are you waiting for? Just be blessed by God and the promises of material blessing. Christ does bring prosperity. But it is not first measured in earthly terms. He brings us a spiritual prosperity, that we may flourish in our spiritual life. Part of that prosperity is the fact that we know the King. We know the righteous one. We know the just one. We know the one that's going to rule forever and over all. One of the blessings of that prosperity is knowing the King and having access to Him. You know, children, I have always thought it would be really neat to know the President of the United States personally. It would be so neat to know who that is, to know him in a personal relationship, and to be able to drive up to the White House and to say, "Hey, it's me. Let me in." And they open the gates for you. And you walk up to the White House and you go to the Oval Office and you say to the secretary outside, "Hey, it's me, I'm just stopping by again." And she says, "Go on in." And you're welcomed into the presence of the President. Wouldn't that be cool? If you could just walk up, go in his office and talk. We know and have access to the King over all creation. We know and have access to the one who right now rules not only a nation, but rules over the whole world. And we have the access. We can come and approach him at any time. What a blessing, what a prosperity, what a wealth to know the King of Kings, to know the Lord of Lords. Oh, the blessings of Christ's kingship and the prosperity that he gives us, that we can know and have access to the King over all. We know the one who is in charge. He blesses us with that presence. He blesses us with that access. Our confession says, how does the glory of Christ our head benefit us? First, through His Holy Spirit, He pours out His gifts from heaven upon us, His members. Not only access, but gifts from the King. And certainly that most profound gift we have is the gift of salvation. The gift of knowing we no longer fear death and hell. The gift, like we talked about on Ascension Evening, about having our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee God will take us there too. We have the gift of salvation applied by the Holy Spirit, a gift of living in that kingdom, in that glorious realm where righteousness and justice are the character of the kingdom. We have the prosperity given to us by the King. That's the method by which he reigns. And also we have the protection of the King. Not only prosperity, but also protection.
Verse 4. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. Our confession says, second, by his power he defends us and keeps us safe from all enemies. We have the protection of the king as we go through our lives. We have the protection of the king as we go through our daily activities. We have the protection of the king as we gather as a church. And when there are challenges to those activities, when there's challenges to the church, we have the protection of Christ himself. And make no mistake, the church continues to be under attack today. Under attack from external forces. Forces that would minimize the church's voice, that would minimize the church's importance, that would tend to sideline anything the church has to say to society. We're under the attack of theological pluralism, where every view is really true, looked at from a particular way, where no one's really right and no one's really wrong, but we all have a perspective on the truth. It's an attack against the church. And yet we have Christ to protect and defend the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We have attacks from the church from the inside. Internal forces which continue to challenge the Word of God. Which continue to say, did God really say these things? Challenges sometimes in terms of the most fundamental, basic truths that we hold dear. Challenges in terms of justification. That we have been declared righteous, not because of anything we have done, but only for the mercy and grace of Christ. That fundamental truth of the Reformation continues to be challenged today. From within the church. And from within the churches with Reformed in their name. And yet we know that Christ is on the throne. Christ is ruling and reigning. Christ the all-powerful, Christ the almighty, Christ the one who has promised that his church would stand forever. The king is powerful. And the power of Satan and the power of deception and the power of the lie is no match to the power of Jesus Christ. He protects us. He protects his people. Defending the church against all attacks, external and internal. The method of his reign brings prosperity, it brings protection. And the king will sit in judgment on his kingdom. The king will sit and judge those who are his subjects. And the character of that judgment, the character of that justice, begins with compassion for his people. Verse 12. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. The king has compassion on his people. He will judge them. He will judge them rightly and justly, but also with compassion on the afflicted, compassion on the downtrodden. And what a blessing for us, because we are those who so often fall once again into the temptations of our sin, have to cry out to God again, and he does not end his compassion to us. He continues to hear our pleas. And in the final day, in the last judgment, we have no fear that the king will somehow now turn his back on us. Because as the confession reminds us, that we await a judge, the very one who already stood trial in my place before God, and so has removed the whole curse from me. In that final day, when the king comes once again to judge the living and the dead, those who are found in him as part of his kingdom have no fear. No fear that God will forget them, for the judge who will judge stood in their place.
He took your sins. He took my sins. He covered them over with His blood. The judge won't forget that. But He will remember in compassion and in mercy His people. He will deliver them in that final judgment day and welcome them into the consummation of the glories of His kingdom. Justice with compassion for His people. Compassion for His people, but vengeance upon His enemies. Notice verse 9. May the desert tribes bow down before Him, and His enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastline render Him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings bow down before Him. All nations serve Him. And that is certainly the prayer for all nations to be converted before the King and fall down in love and adoration to Him. But if they refuse to fall down in adoration, they will fall down in fear at that last day. And they will lick the dust before Him. For Christ and His kingship will be acknowledged, either joyfully and willingly and with glad accord before Him. We belong to the King. Or quaking in fear, cowering beneath the throne. The justice of His judgment on that final day. A blessing for the believer, but an eternal curse for those who do not know the King. Do you know that King? Can you say with certainty that He is my Lord, my Savior, my King? He is the one I serve. He is the one I worship. He is the one I follow. If you have not yet recognized Jesus Christ as King of Kings, as Lord of Lords, as your King, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to bow before Him in love and adoration, to confess your weakness and your frailty, and to look to His strength and His compassion and His grace to receive you as His own. That is the only way that in the final judgment we can have any hope. The only way that when He comes again to judge the living and the dead, that He will take us to be with Himself, that we might enjoy the joy and the glory of heaven. Christ is King. He reigns right now. The psalmist says, long may He live. May gold of Sheba be given to Him. May prayer be made for Him continually and blessings invoked for Him all the day. Verse 18, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Lord God, You are glorious and great and marvelous in majesty. King Jesus, You rule over all creation, over every part of our life. It is a rule that is a blessing to us because of Your righteousness and Your justice, because of Your provision of prosperity. Lord God, may we truly today once again go forth from here as citizens of the kingdom, as those who recognize Your rule, Your authority, Your claim over every part of our lives. And may we offer those lives in loving service and devotion to You, our King. Accept our prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.